Lord, we thank you we can be here this morning.
Amen.
Oh, exercising our heart.
Amen.
To turn to you right now.
Amen.
Lord, cleanse us with your precious blood.
Amen.
Wash us from every sin.
Amen.
From every offense.
Amen.
From every trespass.
Amen.
Forgive us for not living you.
Amen.
Lord, we turn to you right now.
Amen.
We want to see visions of God.
Amen.
We want to receive your express word.
Amen.
We want to understand the vision.
Amen.
Even we want to become the vision.
Amen.
Lord, bless us the rest of this weekend.
Amen.
Continue to pour out your blessing.
Amen.
Open your word.
Amen.
Open our minds to give us understanding.
Amen.
Lord, we look to you.
Amen.
The source of every blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to be here. To be here with you.
Amen.
Young people.
Amen.
Loving God.
Amen.
So wonderful. I was considering what a treasure you are to the Lord. That you chose to be here this weekend. Present your body. Praise the Lord, your bodies are here.
Amen.
Right? There are some maybe wishing they were here, but their bodies are not here. But your bodies are here. That means your soul and your spirit is here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And we can turn our whole being to the Lord.
Amen.
And we can see visions of God. When I saw the topic for this conference, I thought, oh, we're going to get into Ezekiel. Wow. And sometimes we may think, oh, this may be too much for the young people. But actually, young people, God's heart is that you would see visions of God.
Amen.
You're not too young to see visions of God. And the reason I called the hymn that we just sang is because it talks about the exercise of our heart and the exercise of our spirit. And our heart and the condition of our heart has very much to do with whether or not God would open the heavens to us. Right? If you remember in the first outline, it says, whenever God finds a man on earth who is what? One with him. And whose heart is a duplication of his heart, what will happen? The heavens are open to him.
Amen.
I believe as a young person, even as I'm reading this, I have this as a prayer. Lord, I want to be a person who is one with you.
Amen.
Lord, make me a person who is one with you.
Right.
And whose heart is a duplication of your heart.
Amen.
If we are such, then the heavens are open to us. And we can see visions of God. In other words, we can see what is in God's heart. Oh Lord,
amen.
Make us such.
Amen.
You know, maybe our condition as we come to this, to the retreat, or to this conference time, it might not be so good, but we're here, and we're in God's presence. And what is here? The wind, the cloud, the fire, the electrum.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The wind is blowing. I believe many of you were blown by the wind to come this weekend. Right? You're here. Right? And God caused the wind in your environment to bring you here. But with the wind comes God's overshadowing presence.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's caring for us. Young people, God is caring for you.
Right.
He loves you.
Amen.
He wants to open his heart to you.
Amen.
So I just pray that during this whole weekend, many of us, all of us, would have an exercised heart.
Yes.
We would turn to the Lord.
Amen.
We would confess our sins. We would, you know, the Lord could wash away everything. So our heart could be proper, in a proper position to see visions of God.
Amen.
And the Lord can open his heart to us.
Amen.
We saw this in this last session, our brother shared with us how the experience of a normal Christian is shown here. This is the history of a normal Christian. Do you want to be a normal Christian?
Amen.
I want to be a normal Christian. A normal Christian is one who experiences this cycle over and over. What does it mean? We experience the visitation of God over and over.
Amen.
You should write this down. Lord, like a prayer, Lord, I want to experience your visitation over and over.
Amen.
Again and again. I want to experience you as what? As the wind that comes from the north to unsettle me,
yes.
Right? To cause me to consider what my condition is and to make me desperate to desire to be right with God. Oh, Lord, I want to be right with you.
Amen.
Then what happens when we're enlightened by him because of the wind, then we realize, oh, I am not right with my mother. I'm not right with my siblings. I'm not right with my classmates. But I want to be right with God. Oh, so then what happens? The appearing of God that brings in God's presence, it starts bringing light into our life and causes us to what? To deal with these things. Because we want God's presence. Because we want to experience God over and over. So then we apologize to our parents because of our attitude, right? We right? Maybe you don't wear this tie, but your tie says attitude on it. Right? Right? When you walk into the house, you walk there with an attitude. Oh, Lord Jesus, that attitude needs to be burned away. So that what? So that God can appear to you over and over. Oh, Lord Jesus. Right? We need to be right with our siblings. We need to be right with our classmates. Our brother asks, you know, do you hate anybody? Right? And some people say yes. And then he said, well, maybe in the past we did. But some may be hating somebody right now. That means the fire is shining. And the fire wants to burn that hate away. So that that person that you hate, listen to this. Whether it's a brother or a sister, or whether it's an unbeliever at work or at school. Listen, that person was made in the image and likeness of God. And God desires that person to be saved. Oh, Lord, I want him to go to the lake of fire. But God wants to save him. Or save her. And maybe you are the person the Lord placed in that person's life so that they could see God lived out. They could be attracted to God. Isn't that something? Oh, Lord Jesus, that gives us another view of mankind. Listen, young people, God loves man.
Amen.
How many to ask the Lord? Lord, what is one of the requirements for God to open his heart to you, to a person? Is that his heart, that person's heart, is a duplication of God's heart. God loves man. But if I hate, then that means my heart is not that duplication of God's heart. So then, because the light comes, because I realize, oh Lord, I want to be one with you, then we see our condition, we see our situation that causes us in the light to bring these things to the Lord so that the Lord can burn these things away. Oh, Lord, Amen. The Lord may shine on our appearance. You just look like a worldly person. There should be something in our being that inspired reverence in others because of the way we deport ourselves, the way we dress. You know, I'm not asking you, all the young people, to wear, you know, a three-piece tux every day. No. But listen, God has an opinion on what you wear,
yeah.
Brothers and sisters. Every day, you can be before the Lord. Lord, how about these pants? How about this shirt? How about what that shirt says? You know, Brother Ricky and I sometimes travel, and sometimes I see young people with English writing on their shirts. It's terrible. They don't even know what it means, and they wear it. You speak English, right? You can read what he says. Be careful what you put on your... Right? Why? Because that becomes our expression. And we want to be an expression of God. Oh, so we can ask the Lord, Lord, what about these pants? You know, what about this and that? What about my haircut? Anyway, the Lord has the Lord is very opinionated. What I mean is the Lord has a like... And the Lord has a dislike about everything. So wouldn't it behoove us to find out what he likes and what he doesn't like? Don't you think if you ask him, he wouldn't answer you? He gives you a feeling. Maybe that shirt is not so bright, not so good. Maybe those pants are not so befitting for you. Maybe try these other ones. These are practical things that the fire wants to burn away. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens? The more we are in this cycle of the constant visitation of God, electrum is produced. Amen. The glorious expression of Christ, of God in our living, starts being produced. Mm-hmm. And people start seeing God in their classroom. Not because the Lord walked through the room. It's because you walked through the door. Right? You walked that Monday morning. You had a time with the Lord. You enjoyed the Lord. You sang a hymn. And you come into that Monday morning class and you're a happy person.
Right.
And everybody's bummed out because the weekend is over. And you're happy. What happened to you? What are you smoking? I'm not smoking anything. I'm loving Jesus.
Amen.
And that becomes an opening for the gospel. Isn't that awesome? We should bear such a testimony.
Amen.
We're different. Young people, you're different.
Amen.
And God wants you to bear his image. Where? Whatever you are. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Make us such, Lord.
Amen.
You want to be those who bear your image wherever we go.
Amen.
School, maybe some of you work after school. Maybe some of you go do projects with your friends because you're so busy in school and you're working teams, right? Are you the same as the others in your team, in your group? You are different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I don't need to tell you that. You need to hear that from your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And how will that come? That will come by their observation of your living.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they have a problem and when they have a situation, you know what they're going to ask you? Could you pray for me? Because they know you have a connection with the Lord. They know in your living, you have abstained yourself of certain things that you have been invited to do because the spirit within forbids you. Right? But you know, that cooperation of you with the spirit became the door for that person to ask you to pray for them. And then you realize, wow, that's why I'm here in this high school. You know, young people, the world just has one thought. Party it up. I'm serious. I don't need to tell you. You know this. And because all of us have the flesh in us, the enemy uses that hook to try to bring us into that same river Kibar. That's the river Kibar. He wants to bring us into that flood of dissoluteness, in which all of them are being carried away from God. And actually, they're you know, by their actions, they're trying to what and do what God wants to do on the earth. And bring you along with them. Are you going to stand up and say no? Or are you just going to, oh yeah, let's go right into Babylon together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Say no, young people. Yes or no? Will you go that way?
No.
Okay. This is life and death. I want to hear a loud no from everybody that wasn't going to go this way.
Right.
Do you want to go this way?
No.
I'm not convinced. No! I will not go this way.
Right.
Why? Because I'm different. Because I have God's visitation every day. The wind comes every day to me. I'm cared for by God. And I'm experiencing God in my daily life. Things that I couldn't get rid of, the Lord is burning away. I'm experiencing God. So I'm not the same. And I don't want to go along in the same way that everybody else is going. That's inspiring. If a young person takes this kind of stand, because you are following your beloved, others will follow you. I guarantee you. But, you know, on the other hand, Satan is God's enemy. He also has a priesthood. He also has an expression on the earth. And a lot of people, some of them consciously are cooperating with him, and some of them unconsciously are cooperating with him. To what? To undo and to stand against God's purpose. Mm-hmm. Where will you be, young people? What stand will you take? Will you take God's stand? Will you be on the Lord's side? Will you be on the Lord's side?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, may all of us be on the Lord's side. Because that river Kibar is really strong. It's really strong. But there was a priest. Hallelujah. In the land of captivity among the captives. He was a priest of God. And he saw visions of God. Oh, praise the Lord. But not only out of that cycle, not only is the electron produced, out of that also come four living creatures. Hallelujah. Okay, so that brings us to message two. If you have your outline, it says the vision of the four living creatures and the high and awesome wheel. So let's read that together. Amen. So like I was saying, when we experience God as the blowing wind, the overshadowing cloud, the burning fire, and the glowing electrum, we become. I was really touched at the end of our message. You know, I just saw that fresh. We become the vision. Wow. You know, sometimes when we see a beautiful scenery, you know, we admire it. Yeah, we may be awed by it, but I can never become that. Visions of God. When God opens his heart to you, listen to this. When God opens his heart to you, he wants to show you that he wants to make you just like him in life, in nature, in expression, and in function. But not in the Godhead. Have you seen this? That's a vision. Have you seen this vision? God wants you to become just like him. That's quite lofty, isn't it? Some people just want to get a gold medal for a certain athletic ability. But we're in this race in which we're becoming God. What? I don't know. Are you shocked by this? Or are you too... Have you been... Our ears dull because we hear this all the time. But I would like to shake you up to realize God wants to make you just like him. I want you to consider this afresh. Please empty your spirit of what you think you know about this vision and ask the Lord, Lord, show me that you want to make me just like you. I want to see this afresh. Why am I emphasizing this? It's because if we have this vision, our living will change.
That's right. That's right.
Our living will change. Then what happens is we're controlled by division. We are adjusted by division. Remember all the things we read yesterday concerning vision? Governs us, restricts us, controls us, preserves us, revolutionizes us, and gives us boldness to go on. A vision means a lot. Brothers and sisters, young people, if you don't have a vision, your Christian life will not have a good pattern, meaning it will not be ascending. Your pattern will be descending. Do you follow me? Do you follow what I'm saying? You see a graph, right? When you see a graph, X and Y, and you see that it's being plotted and it's positive, in a positive attitude, that means sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. But the general trend is what?
Yeah.
Up.
Amen.
Because the vision. There is a goal there. But if we don't see what God wants to accomplish with us as believers, one day, because we feel good, we cooperate with the Lord, or because we're touching our emotions, because, wow, that was a good message, and then we just draw in our emotions to spend a little time with the Lord, but then we forget. Because what? Because vision has not gotten hold of us. Or in other words, we haven't gotten hold of that vision. When the Lord ran into Peter, right, there at the beach of the Sea of Galilee, he changed his name. What was his name? Simon, right? And he told him, you shall be called Cephas, which is stone, which is Peter. That became a vision to Peter. That could become a vision to us. Later on, when he was mature, he writes that we are being built up together as living stones. He realized, I'm a living stone in God's building. That could be a vision to you. What does God want to make me? He wants to make me a living stone in his building. Oh, but sometimes we're just dead. In our condition, we're just dead. But then the wind comes, hallelujah, to unsettle us, to cause us to what? To turn back to the Lord, to experience Him as life, to receive His visitation. And then we become living. But if we are not controlled by a vision, then we just forget. And then our Christian life becomes a life that we live by inspiration and not by a vision. What kept the Apostle Paul going while he was there in prison? It wasn't because he got a 5-course meal every day at the appointed time, right? Or he just had the queen bed with... No. He was in the stocks. But a vision kept him going. And what did he say? I rejoice. He's in prison and he's rejoicing. And he's telling the believers in Philippi to rejoice with him. Vision. What will keep you when things are not going well in your daily life? And you're tempted to go here and to go there. Will you go along with your feeling or the feeling of that day? Or will that vision preserve you to say no to that temptation? And to flee, to be with others who are loving the Lord. I just found out a young person, you know, among us, not doing so well, lost the vision. Or maybe never had a vision. And then this person's living is not expressing God. So we pray in His mercy that the Lord would reach that person. To bring that person back to Him. Young people, we don't want you to be in that condition. We want you to live by vision. Amen. What else does the Lord want you to be? He wants you to be a normal, functioning member in the body of Christ. Are you a normal, functioning member in the body? That become a vision to you. That could become a vision. Oh, I'm a young person. What does the living of a normal young person who is a believer look like? We're going to see some things. It's a person that prays. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. That stops himself. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. That seeks the Lord. Mm-hmm. That reads the Bible. Amen. That preaches the gospel. That is a person that has a sense of life and realizes when I grieve the Spirit or when I disobey, oh, the Lord is bothered. But that's a witness that you are a regenerated believer. Amen. And the Lord is calling you. Oh, young people, the Lord loves you. And He wants to open His heart to you. Amen. So that you could become living creatures. Okay, so let's read point one together. When we experience God as the blowing wind, the overshadowing cloud, the burning fire, and the glowing electrum, we become the four living creatures, a corporate entity expressing Christ. Okay, not only do we become living, but we become part of a corporate entity expressing Christ. So my emphasis is not particularly personally for you, but it's that all of us as living creatures could enter into what? Into the corporate expression of Christ. That means we need to be built up together. We need to work together for the Lord to move. Okay, brothers, point A. Hallelujah. To be what? Vital believers. That means we're living and we're active. Right? I could be alive but not be living. Right? A person who is maybe brain dead could be lying there on the bed, and that person is alive. But could you say that that person is living? No. Why? Because there is not much activity. Right? Just certain bodily functions are taking place. But for all intents and purposes, they call that person brain dead. Oh, Lord. We want to be living and active.
Amen.
We want to be full of life, the life of, and that life carries out certain activities. Right? Remember, the Lord loves man. Okay, point B, sisters. It is a twofold proof. Go ahead.
There is a twofold proof by which we can know that we are living creatures.
Brothers, one. Sisters, two.
The inward proof is the sense of life in our regenerated spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for these activities that we can engage in. We pray. We intercede. We're one with the Lord so that He can move on the earth. Then we read the Bible. How many of you have read the book of Ezekiel? Stand up, you know, I mean, not stand up, but put your hand up. Hallelujah. Okay. How many of you have read the whole Old Testament? Okay. How many of you have read the whole Bible? Okay. That should become a goal for us believers. Before I graduate, before I receive that diploma, I want to read the Bible.
Amen.
Before I walk through that stage to receive my diploma when I'm 12th grade, right? What about that? Make a schedule. If you're in 10th grade, do you have what? You have 11th and 12th and a little bit of this year. That's 2 years and a little bit more to read the whole Bible. About two chapters a day. Two chapters a day. Can you do it? Are you living? Are you living?
Amen.
Then you have to read two chapters a day. Are you living?
Amen.
Are you going to eat lunch today?
Yes.
Right away, of course.
Yeah.
Right, because we care more for the food than for the Bible. But the psalmist says, I care more for the Bible than for the food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. When we have a vision, we realize, oh, in order to keep that vision burning in me, I have to read the Bible.
Right.
I have to eat the Word of God. My constitution needs to be changed.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, that's an activity that we need every day, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
May not one day go by in which you don't touch the Word of God. At least touch it. Then maybe the next day you can open it And maybe the third day you will read one verse and you'll get hooked. Oh, the Spirit will make it so real and so tasty to you. You start reading the Bible. God is real. Okay, the four living creatures have four faces. The face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. I'd like to read the verses here at the end of your booklet. It says, verse 5 says, and from the midst of it, that's from the midst of the fire, came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Amen. The likeness of the living creatures is the likeness of what? A man. You know, many of us are familiar with God's economy, right? Probably if we could take the time for you to give a testimony or for you to give us some dissertation of God's economy, you could. But you know what is happening here? God is using visions that seem to us very strange to show us His economy from another perspective so that we realize, oh, God needs a group of people to coordinate with Him on the earth that look just like the man on the throne. In verse 26, if you look at verse 26, it says, and above the expanse that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, like the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was one in appearance like an eagle. No. Oh, sorry. Like a man. The four living creatures have the likeness of a man. The one on the throne has the likeness of a man. That means the living creatures are a reflection, a reproduction of the man on the throne to carry out what the man on the throne wants to do. Wow. Who is on the throne? A man. Who is on the earth? One with the one on the throne. Oh, Lord, make us such. Okay, we have to go on. We don't have much time. Okay. The face of a man indicates that the living creatures live in a proper humanity, the humanity of Jesus. So it says in verse 10, it says, as the likeness and as for the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man. And the four of them, okay, so first the face of a man. In our living, if we want to express Christ, we don't have to learn how to express Christ. We have to experience the wind, the cloud, the fire, and the electrum. We have to be revived in our living. I could tell you, if you want to express Christ, you need to ask Him, Lord, what are you doing now? No. You have to experience Him. Remember the example I gave about Monday morning? If you experience the Lord in your morning time with Him, you're a different person. You come and you're so happy. And they're going to ask you, why are you so happy? It's Monday. Right? Because you touch God. Because you are experiencing Him. Then what happens? There is an expression in your living. But not only this, if you just shout hallelujah in the meetings and do not have a proper human living, if I go to your bedroom and I see everything in disorder, like three mountains of different kinds of clothes everywhere, right? And I open the closet and a mountain comes down. Listen, that is not the living of a proper man. So then we cannot express God in our living. We may be excited because God visited me. But remember, the Lord wants to bring things into resurrection. Is your bedroom in resurrection? Oh, Lord. Right? What about your relationships? Are all your relationships in resurrection? Or are your relationships bringing you into the river Kibar? In our relationships, we need to express God. We need to be a proper man to express God to our friends. Right? But if all they see is a religious person, maybe sometimes we find this. Your friends may not even know that you're a Christian. Oh, Lord. That is... And if they know you're a Christian, then they ask themselves, what kind of Christian is this? I thought Christians are like this, but you're like that. Oh, Lord. That means we're not proper in our human living. Are you cheating in the tests as they are? Are you mocking your teachers as they are? Are you lying to your parents as they are? And then you say, hey, man, let's go to the church meeting this weekend. Like, what? Where are you from, Mars? Do you follow me? Oh, Lord, to have a proper living as a man is very important. You know, today, everything is relative, right? If it feels good, do it. Or, oh, if it doesn't hurt anybody, do it. No. We live by the life of God in us. And because we're reading the Bible, our conscience is being educated about how to relate to others in our relationships. So I will not put my name on that thing because that's a lie. Or they come and they tell you the latest joke they saw on Facebook or the latest joke they saw on YouTube, and it's dirty, and they just involve you in that. Do you have the face of a man, or you are just a man full of dirt, just like them? There should be something different about us in our living. Oh, Lord Jesus. When I worked, I had my office. People would come into my office and they know. In my office, no dirty jokes. This person is a Christian. And they would invite me to certain things because I wouldn't go. Praise the Lord. Amen. The face of a man. Hallelujah. We need to be proper in our living. Right? Are we kind to people? Not because we think, oh, Jesus was kind, so I need to be kind. No. It's because, remember, I've been experiencing the visitation of God. And the person that I didn't used to like that much before, now, when that person says hi to me, there is something in me that loves that person. Where did that come from? Did you conjure it up and say, oh, now I have to love this person? No. It's the love of God working in your heart, warming you up to make you a nice person. Oh, it's different. It's living. Our God is living, young people. Okay, the face of a lion, right? In relation to sin, in relation to the things of the enemy, we need to be lions, right? No, I don't stand for that. No, I don't do that. And you know what happens when we are like that in our living? We bring in the kingdom of God where we are. Wow. And you know what? Remember, he wants a group of people. It's a corporate expression that he wants. So don't think that you're alone in your school. You have the backing of the body of Christ behind you. And that emboldens you. Because what? There is no condemnation in your conscience because you confess your sins. Because you have a clear sky. And when you have this kind of living, rather than presenting yourself as religious, they will respect your stand. Because you explain to them in a proper way, listen, I'm a believer. I love the Lord Jesus. I appreciate it if you don't tell me those kinds of jokes. And if they keep doing, then you just leave. eventually you will earn their respect. Why? Because you're a lion. You bear the face of a lion. But not only this, there is also the face of an ox. So when you're walking, when you work in your groups with your friends, don't slack off. Don't leave everything to that person that types well and does everything. Right? Have you ever been in one of those groups? You're the only one that works, and everybody else is just slacking off. I hope it's like that. I hope you're the ox. I hope you're not the other ones. That's a real testimony, what kind of man you are. And when you need to clean, you clean the best. And when you need to work, you work the best. And when you need to study, you study the best. What is that? That is an ox bearing the proper responsibility in the human life. And what about in the church life? We need four brothers and four sisters to serve. There were not many oxes. But praise the Lord, they came up. Some came up. Praise the Lord for the oxes. Right? Do you follow me? When there is a need in the church, the brothers announce something, and rather than say, hey, you go like, not me. Oh, Lord Jesus. It should be, we say, volunteers for tonight's meal prep. All the hands go up, and we have to say, okay, you. But we're just here. How many? We need four. Okay. We need four. Four. English. Cuatro. Oh, okay. Oh, one. That's a shame to us. That means we're not bare. We don't have the face of an ox. That means we like to leave the work for others. That means we don't want to bear anything. Young people, learn to bear the testimony. And you know, if you're like this and you bring one of your friends, you know, to this kind of meeting and you volunteer, you know what your friend is going to do? He's going to volunteer with you. But if you are a slacker, they will do the same. We are patterns to others, to our friends. And I know some of you are burdened for your friends. Praise the Lord for this. And some of you have brought your friends into the church life. That is wonderful. I believe it has to do with having the face of a man, with having the face of a lion, with having the face of an ox. And not only this, the four living creatures have the face of an eagle. Right? Those who wait on Jehovah shall rise up as on eagle wings. Right? They shall walk, right, and not become weary. That means because we bear the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, nothing can keep us down. We go above depression and oppression. We rise up in a difficult situation to be one with the Lord for his move. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord, young people. Amen. Do you have a vision? Oh, Lord, give us a vision that would control us. Oh, Lord, make us the living creatures, amen, coordinating together. Amen. For what? So that God can have a move on the earth. Yes. God wants to move on the earth. Amen. Write that down. God wants to move on the earth. And God wants me to be in that move. Oh, wow. That's right. That's awesome. That really causes me to be beside myself. Mm-hmm. That God would want me to be in his move. You know, in the world, they have all these programs, you know, TV shows or whatever. And some people are invited into those shows. And there's really an honor for them to be in these shows. Listen, God wants you to be in his show. It's not so and so, not so and so. It's the God of the universe that wants you to be involved with his move, that actually wants you to be in his move, to cooperate with him so that he can move in you and through you to bring Christ to others. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is awesome. That is an awesome calling. Okay. So the four leaving here, I cover all the faces, right? Let's read them so that they are... Okay. A, B, and C. How about brothers A, sisters B, C, and D? Okay. The face of a man. Go ahead, brothers. Amen.
The face of the lion signifies boldness, vigor, strength, victory, and reigning over sin, the world, and Satan. The face of an ox signifies one who is willing to labor, to bear the burden, and to sacrifice himself in serving others and bearing responsibility. D together. The face of an eagle signifies the powerful, buoyant, transcendent God that does not allow anything to hold us, to suppress us, or to depress us. Hallelujah.
You know, Romans 8:37 is that verse that says, in all these things, we more than conquer through him who loved us.
Amen.
That word, we more than conquer, is we in him, right? Through we more than conquer, that word more than conquer could be translated, we super overcome.
Wow.
That's the word.
Uh-huh.
Through whom? Through him. Amen. Who loved us.
Amen.
The Lord is the eagle, right? And through him we can overcome all these things that are there in Romans 8. All things may come our way. Temptations, things present, things to come, angels, principalities, all those things. But in all these things, we more than conquer. We more than super overcome through him who loved us. If you love him, if you're pursuing him this way, if you're allowing him to work in your life in this way, I will assure you, you will more than conquer. In the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1, he says, you shall by no means ever stumble.
Yeah.
Like, what? That is such a promise in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Adding virtue, you know, diligently adding, what is it, virtue to faith. And then, what is it?
Faith to virtue,
virtue, knowledge, in knowledge, self-control. And in self-control, endurance, and in endurance, godliness, and in godliness, right?
Yeah.
And in godliness, brotherly love, and in brotherly love, love. Having all these things operating in you, says, right? You shall not be found idle, right? And if you do all these things, you will by no means ever stumble.
Wow.
That's a verse that is sister to Romans 8:37. You know, we more than conquer.
Amen.
Through him who loved us. We have the face of an eagle. We more than conquer. We can rise up above every situation to be one with the Lord. Okay. Let's read three together. The four living creatures coordinate together as one corporate entity. The corporate Christ for his expression, move, and administration. Sisters A.
Each of the living creatures is leading in one direction, respectively facing north, south, east, and west. And two are the wings spread out and touch like adjacent creatures
changing
wind,
forming a square. Amen. B, brothers. Amen. See together. This is a beautiful picture of the coordination in the church, in which each member has his particular position and function or ministry. Okay. Okay, so now we come to another point, and that is that the four living creatures coordinate together as one corporate entity, the corporate Christ, for his expression, move, and administration. And point C puts it together in that if we are those who are experiencing the Lord in this way, we will be what? Normal, functioning members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's part of the vision. That's what God wants to make us. He wants to make us normal, functioning members of his body. The word member indicates that there are others that they are built up with. Right? So in our church life, we should be those who are built up with others so that our function can be proper in the body. It's a beautiful picture when you see the four living creatures moving. They move together and they move as lightning from one side to the other. Right? They move very fast. You know, I don't have the time to do the illustration with the four brothers and so on. But you've probably seen it, right? The four living creatures. When one moves forward, two move sideways, and one move backwards. Mm-hmm. And that's how they move. They move what? What? In coordination. Mm-hmm. They're not like, oh, come this way, come this way. The other, no, come this way. No, there is no competition among them. They just coordinate and cooperate with each other for God's move. Young people, God's move can be with you. Mm-hmm. Are you burdened for your friends? Are you burdened for those who are in your class next to you or in your high school? Are you coordinating with another living creature so that you're praying together to maybe strategize with the brothers and bring this burden to the church so that maybe there could be, you know, a passing out of pamphlets at the one of the times when your school is out and some of the other young people come and pass out pamphlets and you're there with them? You know, the other day was so beautiful. It was like 80 degrees out. Remember? Oh, 80 degrees. We were out there. We were preaching the gospel with a brother. And he had the shirt, you know, Christian students. And then he said, oh, that's my boss. That's my boss. The boss just went by, you know. Anyway, it's good to be out displaying our flag. I'm a believer. Okay, I want to go back to this example about your burden for your friends. I know many of you are burdened. So our encouragement is pray with others in the body, right? Maybe bring your burden to the brothers in the church. Maybe they'll pray with you. Maybe if you come to the prayer meeting, the church will pray for your friends. Right. Wow. Amen. When the church prays, things happen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Anyway, we need to coordinate with the Lord. The weather is getting more beautiful. Are you just thinking about, oh, just laying on the sun? Or are you thinking, wow, May is coming. Flowers are blooming. People are happy. What about instead of having the Saturday night meeting with everybody not wanting to come, let's go out and sing at the park and pass out tracts. And be our, you know, have our faces shining. That's attractive. It's not as attractive when just one person is singing, but when you have a bunch together, loving the Lord, singing. Why can't we do this? All kinds of people do all kinds of hideous things in the park that you can't even look at because you get defiled. What about sanctifying the parks in New York and in New Jersey with our singing? Who's going to do that? I'm too old. You have to do it. Young people, God wants to use you for his move. Amen. You will attract other young people. Mm-hmm. And the preaching of the gospel will bring many into the churches. Maybe not those persons who are there at the park, But that's the principle. You preach the gospel, the Lord brings the material. Oh, Lord Jesus. Are we going to let the warm weather go by and then September comes and we're all cold again and nobody got saved? That will be a shame to us. Oh, Lord Jesus. With every person and with every church, there should be a great and awesome wheel.
Right.
That is, God's move should be with us everywhere where we go.
Amen.
Because the wheels are by the side, by each face. Every wheel has every face has a wheel. And the wheel is God's move. The wheel here shows us God's move. The hub is Christ. The rim is the church. So when Christ moves, the church moves. Are we moving one with Him? And when we move, we're full of eyes. We're full of discernment. Then we'll realize we shouldn't go to there. We should go to this other place. That's where the people are. The Lord will lead us. The Lord will give us understanding about things. We will have sight and you know, about many things. You want to be full of eyes? Coordinate with others for the God's move, wherever you are. Don't wait till they go to the full-time training to preach the gospel. Don't wait to hear the great testimony in Germany. What about, I mean, praise the Lord is moving in Germany.
Right.
We're for that. But Brother Dennis told us, the Lord is moving everywhere. He's moving in your city. He's moving in your neighborhood. He's moving in your school. God is moving. And listen, by your side is a great and awesome high wheel. That's God's move. But if you don't move, the wheel doesn't move. Oh, Lord, move within us. And move us to be one with your move. Okay, how about let's point four and let's finish. By the side of every living creature, there is a high and awesome wheel. Brothers, A. Sisters, B. Emphasize the word there. Extraordinary. Special extraordinary move. The Lord wants to have a special extraordinary move. See, brothers.
Every local church and every individual believer should have a high and awesome wheel with them.
In ourselves, we should be small, but the wheel beside us, that is, the move of God's economy with us, should be high and awesome. Amen. For the in order
to participate in the Lord's move,
we must have a personal, private, and spiritual relationship with Him. Amen. In order to participate in the Lord's move, we can go on in His going, give in His giving, and pray in His praying. I just like to say a little something on point D. In order to participate in the Lord's move, we must have a personal, affectionate, private, and a spiritual relationship with the Lord. I would say this is kind of the other side of the circle or the cycle. The wind, the fire, the wind, the cloud, the fire, and the electrum requires us to have this kind of relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Personal, affectionate, private, and spiritual. Young people, you want to experience the Lord's visitation? Cultivate your romance with the Lord by having a personal and affectionate relationship with Him. Every day, give the Lord a little time. Every day, open to Him. Every day, turn your heart to Him. That will bring in His visitation, and that will bring in the necessary experiences that we need so that we would become living creatures, ready to coordinate with others to have a special, extraordinary move the Lord wants to have on the earth.
Amen.
He needs you as a young person. It sounds funny. God doesn't need anything. But according to the principle of incarnation, he does not move except when man moves. Mm-hmm. But what does he need? He needs a man whose heart is a duplication of his heart. May we be those. Have some prayer, 2x2. Amen.